The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, world. This is Trish Adora, your Pan-African World Diaspora Champion, and you are listening to John Orlando on the PVDcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVDcast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 359. I hope all is well with you, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVDcast. Before I get to talking about this episode, I do want to mention that I have one busy weekend ahead of me. On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Columbus will host GalaxyCon, which is a great comic book and pop culture convention. It's coming to town, and I am very honored and just ecstatic to be a part of GalaxyCon, as I am going to moderate some panels. There's a Star Wars panel, there's a Star Trek panel, there's a Doctor Who panel, and there's even a Mario Brothers movie panel, which I gotta say, that's gonna be a challenge for me because I don't think I've ever seen the Super Mario Brothers movie, the one with Bob Hoskins from the 90s. And I know there's a new one coming out with, I believe, Chris Pratt is doing the voice and Anna Taylor-Joy. So I'm gonna have to really do some research. I'm gonna have to be ready to go, bring my A game to these four different panels. But I appreciate the opportunity and I'm very excited for it. But on the other hand, I'm also kind of a little bit bummed, too, because this Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock at Rosemore Middle School in Whitehall, Ohio, NOW, that's right, New Ohio Wrestling is back in action, and I'm only going to be there for about half the show, and I feel bad about that. I really do. So I want to thank publicly Donnie and Terry, who run NOW, for giving me the opportunity to kind of work the first half of the show doing commentary, and then getting to skate out a little bit earlier so I could be down at the convention center to do my deal with GalaxyCon. So, I don't know, you might see me in Whitehall if you're coming out to NOW. You very well could see me in one of those panel rooms down at GalaxyCon at the convention center, or out on the con floor, be bopping around, talking to a bunch of different folks that are going to be there. Some folks that I'm very familiar with, I'm excited to see once again. But well, let's talk about this episode, shall we? This episode is, of course, the review or the recap for Survivor Series. Last week, the Pro Wrestling Pundits, DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand, sat down with me and we gave our thoughts, our predictions, and our opinions on the premium live event. And so it happened last weekend. We sat down remotely this time. DJ Joey Blaze was feeling a little under the weather and he wanted to play it safe and not get anybody else sick. So we called each other, and thanks to Dialpad, I had everybody on the line, and we recorded that way. But we're going to recap what happened in Survivor Series. We're going to talk about the current WWE storylines and how some of them might be changing for the future, some returns of some WWE superstars that are slated to happen real soon. I even throw out the fact that Conrad Thompson has a new endeavor, Oceanic Pro Wrestling. So it's a plethora of wrestling news and opinions that you don't want to miss. But before we get to that conversation, I need to thank a great sponsor of the PVDcast, and of course I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they have everything you need for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues, graphic novels, they got toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a great pull system. They even have some really cool stuff behind the counter. If you need a Golden Age or Silver Age book, there's a good chance that Jeff and the fine folks at World's Greatest may have it behind the counter. So you owe it to yourself, if you're in Central Ohio, go over to the store. Once again, they're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville. But if you are not in Central Ohio, you can still check out the store. That's right. They have a great website, wgcomics.com, and they're very active on their Facebook page. Just find them at WG Comics. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear myself with the pro wrestling pundits analyzing and breaking down the Survivor Series. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to review the Survivor Series. And once again, joining me on this installment of the PVD Cast are the pro wrestling pundits. Ringside Rand, how are you this evening?
Life is good in the golden ghetto, baby.
And DJ Joey Blaze, you're feeling a little under the weather this evening, ergo why we are remote recording this episode. So how are you feeling?
There's many things I'd rather be under, but under the weather is definitely not one of them.
Okay. All right. Jeez, boy. Starting early tonight, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Well, we are here to talk about the Survivor Series. We're going to run down all the matches. We're going to look at how we predicted the matches to go. And we'll rate the overall event as well as each match. And we'll do that using a body slam system. 5 body slams for an absolutely awesome match. 1 body slam for the drizzling shits, as we like to say. One thing that maybe we should mention real quick that was revealed on SmackDown was that Becky Lynch would be the to-be-determined member of the Women's War Game team. So, guys, were you surprised that Becky Lynch made her return?
I was not surprised. I think she was on the list of 3 or 4 people we thought it could have been.
She was. And the fact that I had mentioned that they had said she was, quote, near to return, end quote, would have made a lot of sense. Joey, what say you about the return of Becky Lynch?
There was no surprise here. That was the likely candidate. Would we have liked to have been surprised? Sure. But I know I didn't predict it, but I think we just kind of did shots in the dark. We weren't taking bets. But I think you predicted that, if I'm not mistaken, Jonathan.
I said Charlotte Flair. So I was a little bit off, but I did think Becky Lynch would be a strong contender. Banks and Naomi, I think that situation is still yet to be resolved fully. So I didn't anticipate them showing up, although that would have been cool. But, you can't be mad with the man. And I'm glad she's going back to that moniker because, you know, I think the big time Bex thing had kind of run its course, in my opinion.
I prefer the man as well as far as that moniker. Yeah, the big time Bex was goofy.
Mm-hmm. All right, gents, let's talk about just the overall event. All right, Survivor Series, when it was all said and done, what'd you think? How many body slams would you give it? Let's start with you, Rand. What do you think?
A lot of what we watch wrestling for is storytelling. And man, the intrigue around Sami Zayn spliced in through the show between the different matches, it was a great example of what storytelling looks like when it's done well. I thought it was very well done, not only in the action, but also in the facial expressions and acting. I thought the story was great.
How many body slams would you give it on a scale of 1 to 5?
I'm going to give it 4. It was one clunker match.
I agree. Absolutely. It's like you saw my notes, Rand. I gave it 4 body slams as well. I thought the overall storytelling was fantastic. And I don't know if I could say that with many other WWE pay-per-views this year, but I thought it was very well done. Joey?
All right. You ready for me to be a kind of a Debbie Downer?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to give it 3.5 body slams. And here's why I'm giving it 1/2 less than both of you guys. And you could probably figure this out. I agree with the storytelling. Top notch. It's great. You know, the matches were fine except for the one clunker that was whatever term you use there, Rand Van Dam. But my whole thing is it's Survivor Series and we didn't have a Survivor Series match.
Correct. And I think what we talked about on the preview, it could have been very easy to do that with AJ Styles and Finn Balor. Just, you know, everybody keeps interfering and they have an authority figure like Adam Pearce come out and go, hey, you all want to get involved? This is a Survivor Series match. Get your asses up on the apron and let's go. You know what I mean? Like it was served up on a silver platter, if you will.
my biggest beef, because that was one of the things that was always the quote unquote Thanksgiving tradition. Mm-hmm. We moved to Sundays. Okay, so we get that, but still the 4-on-4 or 5-on-5 match that was elimination style, there should have been at least one.
Yeah, I agree. Ran, any final thoughts on the overall presentation of Survivor Series?
I'm sticking with my 4.
Okay. All right. So 4 body slams from Rand and I, and 3.5 from Joey. I'll tell you who gets 1 body slam, and we haven't talked about this character, but my God, Kevin Patrick is awful. Jesus Christ. Where did they find this guy?
Oh, I agree. I'm not a big fan of his, but I there's been a hole at that Raw commentary team for a long, long time.
Oh, yes. It's, oh my God. He is like, yesterday, I was watching Raw, and my girlfriend was over, and she goes, I can't understand some of the words he's saying. I'm like, I know, because the accent is that thick.
Anywho. As opposed to the thick that I would normally like when describing Bailey. So, yes, I get it.
Okay, very good, very good. Ha-ha. All right, let's start it off with the Women's War Games match. Let's start with you, Joey. What was your overall opinion? Was there anything during the match that made you go, oh, that's cool, or oh my God, that's awful? Run us down. What's your opinion on the Women's War Games match?
Well, I think the unsung MVP of that is going to be the former Nikki A.S.H., just because of, I think that match, I think she fit into it awesomely. I really like what she did in the match. There was a couple miss moves here and there, or plunder that was kind of ridiculous, but I enjoyed the match overall. I mean, I would give that a 4 body slam match, especially for what it was. My whole thing, though, once again, going back to using names, War Games, and War Games doesn't have a top on the cage, and that really annoyed me.
I agree. I don't like the fact that there's no top, and I also, and I know this is going to get some heat, but I also feel like if you're doing War Games, you better bleed. And ladies, that even means you. Like, this better be violent. I really did not like this match. I thought this match was not very good. I think that, number one, a lot of the ladies focused on doing too many cool moves. Okay, this is not the environment to do these cool moves, all right? This is the environment where you keep it simple. You hit people with things. You choke them, you punch them, you kick them, maybe a super kick, one or two here. But I didn't like that. I felt like it lacked any type of intensity. And again, maybe if it was that you were putting somebody's face in the cage, whether they gigged or not, you know, there needed to be some more violence.
I mean, didn't Bailey eat a Bianca's finisher into the cage?
Yes, she did. That was impressive. But I felt like there needed to be more of that. Sell me on the story that these women hate each other and want to settle the score. Rand, what's your thoughts?
So you're saying even though they had kendo sticks, trash lids, tables, ladders, they didn't use them effectively, that they just jumped off of them in most cases, that it wasn't utilized fully?
I agree. I think that, like, okay, I feel like this match, just as I said, it lacked any intensity. It just was another match where there was plunder involved. They didn't even really have to have the cages up, as far as I'm concerned. It fell flat for me. I gave it 2 body slams.
I was a little bit more generous. I went 3.5.
All right.
The only reason I went 4 too, guys, is I'm not trying to say anybody's less equal by saying this, because, like, oh my God, I can imagine what people would say when I say this, but it is chicks in there, you know, and it's a different type of environment. You know, they look at things a little bit differently. So I kind of looked at it for what it was and not what it could be if, you know, we had Cactus Jack in there, and like, because we've been spoiled with that stuff. We've been spoiled with all kinds of stuff. So I kind of took it back a little bit and kind of looked with what we had to work with.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because last night, again, while watching Raw with my girlfriend, she was very, very, I guess.
John, do you have a girlfriend?
I do. Thank you.
Okay. I'm not. Keep mentioning it.
Okay. All right. Good point. You got me on that one. Anyways, She just was pointing out that it was just not very, in her mind, it was very not very plausible that somebody the size of Rhea Ripley could be moved around the ring by somebody the size of Mia Yim. She's like, it just doesn't, it like, as a woman, that just doesn't make sense to me. And I'm like, well, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, you know? And that started.
Mia Yim kind of has a badass persona. So, like, if you know the Mia Yim persona, I can see that more than if it was Alexa Bliss trying to throw Rhea Ripley around.
Well, that was the next thing. That started a whole conversation about Alexa Bliss and about Asuka and how, and Dakota Kai, about how diminutive they are. That's coming from a woman's point of view. She was like, I don't know. I don't find this to be somewhat believable at all. But so I don't know. Like I said, just for this match, I guess I just wanted something more and they just didn't deliver it. So, Rand, you said 3.5, by the way?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's see. Joey and Rand, both of you selected the babyfaces to win, and indeed that happened with the leg drop through the table from the man, Becky Lynch. So I selected the heels, so you guys have one correct prediction so far.
Yeah, I think the only real storyline to this was Becky Lynch getting some revenge on damage control.
True. All right, let's move on to Finn Balor versus AJ Styles. Of course, Dominic and Damian Priest are going to be in the corner of Finn Balor. Gallows and Anderson are in the corner of AJ Styles.
I was hyped more for the entrances, I think.
Really?
I like the mask, but I'm just talking about how the entrances intrigued me because of AJ bringing the mask back.
Oh, yeah, true. Forgot about that. Yeah, yeah, he wore the mask. I forgot about it.
I think, you know, I think it kind of lived up to what we think it would. Maybe a couple things here and there, but I know you could still continue that feud.
Well, you know what? We'll talk about that because I have that written down as a note. When we're finished the discussion of the Survivor Series, we'll talk about that. Sorry, Joe, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
You're fine. So, I mean, I'm somewhere between 3.5 and 4 body slams on the match because it is, you know, it is what it is. You know, one of the things I was more intrigued by, and now I can't remember what it was, but Prince Devitt / Fergal / Finn Balor, how old he is. I didn't realize they did a tell of tape. I think he's like 39.
I think you're correct on that. Absolutely.
I've always thought he was younger. I didn't realize he was that old. So, so you look at these two guys. And one of the things when I saw the quote-unquote tell the tape, I go back and I look at what WWE was making fun of WCW years ago for using guys that age.
Yeah.
Now here's these guys playing a major storyline, having a hell of a match on a pay-per-view, which I don't know. My mind jogs when I see that. So anyways, I gave the match 3.5 to 4 stars. I enjoyed it.
Finn Balor is 41 years old.
Oh, is that how old he is? Well, that's even crazy.
And AJ Styles was born in 77, so he's in the mid-40s as well.
Yep, he's 45.
I kept waiting for Teddy Long to come out and yell, let's make this into a four-way, let's make this into a four-on-four match. I just kept waiting for that to happen.
With the Undertaker?
It was kind of silly how the extra spot into the back.
But see, I liked that. I thought if you're not going to use them, then have them do that. Because that tells me that, again, we go back to intensity. This shows me that this match means something because these other four guys are willing to get involved. They're willing to fight like hell all the way to the back. I did not have a problem with it. I liked it.
Yeah, it added to the personal touch, too, because this feud is personal at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yes, agreed.
Do you want him to fight into the back or do you want some authority figures come out and take him to the back?
I think you let him fight to the back. I think that helps to sell the idea that this is an important match, that this is, again, using that term, intensity. I think you let him fight to the back.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for Adam Pearce to come out there and act the authority figure persona. So you never thought you'd hear the name Shanghai Pearce during this podcast, did you?
I did not. I'm still waiting on a Lasertron reference, too.
Oh, nice. Duke.
Okay, I gave it 4 body slams. I really liked it. I thought it was a very solid match. It told a very good story. AJ obviously gets the victory. Overall, I had no complaints with it. Rand, you did not give a rating, I don't believe, did you?
No, but I'm going with 4.
Okay. All right. And let's see, who did we select? Well, I selected Finn Balor. Joey selected Finn Balor. Rand, you selected AJ Styles in your prediction. So there you go. It gives you another correct prediction. There you go. You take the lead, so to speak.
I can't wait to pick those up at the pay window.
Yeah.
You will.
Uh-huh. You know what? We're going to give you one of those big, giant checks that, like, Battle Royal winners used to get back in the 1980s.
Like a golf tournament or lottery winners?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. I wonder where you buy those at.
That would be funny to gimmick for a wrestling show.
It is. That's what I'm thinking.
Act like there's some sort of, charity. Hey, you know, here comes the heel, rips it out of the hands and hits the person that's receiving the charity over the head.
Nice. That would be great. A match that I pretty much needed to be hit over the head with to enjoy is up next, where we have Shotzi taking on Ronda Rousey. Rand, I'm going to defer to you.
Okay.
Rand hates it so much he's stunned.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Maybe they're trying to get Shayna Baszler over by association, but if you're going to do that, make it somebody that's doing a good job. Fire Ronda was trending on Twitter the other day. This only gets a half and probably shouldn't even be mentioned.
Oh, you're giving it a half body slam?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Jeez. I gave it 1. I mean, it was just awful. It is clearly becoming apparent, and I'm sure, Rand, that's what that hashtag was all about. It's becoming clear that Ronda Rousey has to have a certain competitor in the ring with her to have a good match. She cannot lead a match, all right?
Oh, no.
She's terrible at it. I mean, I don't know. We didn't have a lot going into this match that we thought was going to be good about it, and it shows. Joey, what's your thoughts?
Well, I think my friend Ed summed it up in a quote that I'm literally going to quote him in a chat. He goes on to say, Shotzi could literally win the women's championship 1,000 times, cure cancer, and become the most storied woman on earth, and the only thing I would ever remember her by is the fact that she has heart-shaped nipples. End quote. But that's the truth. I think that envelops how, you know, we don't look at her as some sort of technical goddess or anything like that, or somebody that can have a good match with Ronda Rousey. So we're already programmed to, like, you know, we're not going into it. We're programmed not to sit back and enjoy it. So that, and plus we saw the matches that Rousey had with Liv, and I kind of got it. I thought she would get better as she went on, but Rousey hasn't gotten better either.
No.
So, like I said, and I remember this specifically as I sat there in your living room, and I said, can you hear the trains are coming?
Mm-hmm.
Chugga, 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 chugga. And that's exactly what we had. We had a train wreck, and I'm right there with the Rand Van Daminator. I give it 1.5, or no, only 1.5. So 1/2, 1/2 of a body slam. It's not even a hip toss.
It's more like a body drop.
Yeah, this match would certainly make you drop some bodies. Anyways, Joey and Rand, you selected Ronda Rousey to win. I was the goofball going with Shotzi because I assumed that there would be some Raquel Rodriguez involved, and indeed that did not happen. So let's get to our next match, which was, of course, the triple threat for the U.S. heavyweight title, Bobby Lashley versus Austin Theory versus Seth Rollins. All right, let's start it off with you, Joey. What do you think?
I think I called it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going the right direction with that. I think this whole time that they didn't, quote-unquote, drop the ball. I just think that Triple H wanted to hit the restart button.
Mm-hmm.
And go the right direction. The match, it finished the best way I think it could, you know, because Theory technically should be outmatched. And I thought it told a great story. I gave this match 4 stars. I'm happy with the ending. You know, I think, you know, you don't need to have a belt on Seth. And I'm over Lashley. I don't think I was ever in. Well, I was into the Hurt Business. I thought that was cool. But, yeah, I'm all for it. I like the way it went. I still think Theory needs a mouthpiece to help him along a little bit. But, yeah, I gave this 4 stars. I enjoyed it.
4 stars or 4 body slams?
I'm sorry, 4 body slams. Because the only star in the building right now is me, so that's the only.
Well, I was just gonna say, is it four body slams delivered by Robbie Starr?
No, it's 4 body slams given by David Starr.
They say you're never supposed to do inside jokes on a podcast, but damn it, that was hilarious.
I do what I can do.
And time out. We should maybe go ahead and let people in on this, because there has been 2 David Stars in the world of professional wrestling. We're not talking about the indie superstar David Starr that got into a little bit of trouble a few years ago. We're talking about David Starr, one of the forerunners of the Fire and Ice Wrestling promotion that Joey and I used to work for.
Pioneer, if you will.
Pioneer, yes, absolutely, yes. Anyways. Rand, what do you think about this three-way dance, if you will, for the U.S. title?
I think that Austin Theory, now that he's regained his name, has gone from a spoiled brat handpicked by Vince to a legitimate heel character. He doesn't deserve it in many ways, but he has it with kind of a fluky win. But I think between that Saturday night show and Monday's promo, I think he's going to be a successful heel for a while. I gave it 3.5 as well.
Okay, I totally agree with you on that one. I loved this match. I'm saying it right now. I loved it. It was everything I hoped it would be. Great finish. I agree, Joey. That's the perfect finish for that match. I thought all 3 guys worked their asses off. I gave it 5 body slams. I think it was a solid. It's been the best match I've seen in a few months. It's really, really good. So hats off to all 3. Austin Theory obviously picks up the victory, which myself and Joey selected in our predictions that Austin Theory would win. Rand, you went with Seth Rollins. And, you know, yes. So now that if I do the math here, I think that leads us with 2-2-1 for me. So we have a tie so far here, but in a few moments here, once we wrap up the Survivor Series, as I mentioned before, want to talk a little bit about the direction of where some of these feuds and some of these storylines are going. But before we get to that, and before we wrap up with the main event of Survivor Series, it's time to talk about another place where you can find great stories. And that is, of course, World's Greatest Comics. They are a proud sponsor of the PVD cast, and they have everything you need for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles. They got a great pull system. They have a friendly staff. They have an amazing store. They have even some really primo stuff behind the counter. That's right. If you want to pick up, I don't know, a really old comic book, odds are they have it at World's Greatest Comics. So stop on over to the store if you're in the area. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their website. And they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. All right, it's main event time, guys. Let's talk about the men's War Games match.
Let's talk about their pool system. So can I go skinny dipping in said pool?
No. It's not a pool, P-O-O-L. No, it's a pool as in P-U-L-L. Okay?
Okay. Now, also, when I hear you talking about their wonderful stuff behind the cash register and the places I shop in, those require at least 4 to 6 double-D batteries.
Okay. Well, again...
Now we're updated. We can do USB.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry that World's Greatest Comics does not have any of that type of paraphernalia, if you will, that's behind the counter. They just have really great old school comic books behind the counter. Well,
have you caught up with The Boys? I forget, John. Did you finish that?
Yes,
last season?
I finished The Boys. I finished that season a while ago. Yes.
So I wonder. So when she went into that, when she played the prostitute and went in and killed the Russian guy.
Correct.
I wonder if they make those toys and if World's Greatest Comics would carry them.
No, I don't think that they make those toys, nor do I think that Jeff and the fine folks over there would have such devious things in their store.
I think that would be something else to put them on the map. You said Jeff? Is that his name?
Jeff, yes.
Yeah, I think Jeff should probably look into that. He could probably double it up. Listen, I'm just thinking outside the box for him. Christmas is right around the corner. You have a graphic novel of The Boys. And who else wouldn't want a Homelander massage wand? We'll just call it that.
Well,
Jeff, what do you think, buddy? Balls in your court, pal.
Well, you know what? I'll make sure that he knows how to get in touch with you when this plan comes together. And like Vern Gagne, I want 90%.
Okay, there you go. Okay. There you have it.
Enough said. All right, let's get to it. The men's war games, the Bloodline, taking on, of course, the Brawling Brutes and Drew McIntyre and Kevin Owens. All right, I'm going to go first with this. I thought this was a great match. I think it could have been a little bit shorter. It kind of drug a little bit, but it gave you what you wanted out of a War Games match. A lot of violence, a lot of intensity. You know, the Bloodline goes over. The whole story of what is Sammy going to do, I think, was fantastic. I gave it 4 body slams.
So for the same reason I gave it 4 body slams, the story went very well, especially with the friendship angle with Sammy and Kevin, all tied back into the Bloodline. And we all know that Sammy is the MVP of the Bloodline.
Oh, absolutely.
It's great. And how, you know, if they're going to turn him, it's obviously too early to do it anyways. Mm-hmm. I think they will at some point, but I think it's definitely way too early for that. I enjoyed the match. And like I said, I enjoyed the story it told. I gave it 4 body slams.
Same here. A couple of notes. This match started at 10:30, which
correct
is 9:30, 8:30, and 7:30 other parts of the country. But 10:30 is really late to start a main event when you don't have the old cable style time limits.
Mm-hmm.
There were some subtleties here. Roman Reigns is such a god that he's got a chair inside the cage waiting.
Mm-hmm.
One of the Usos started to go in and opened Roman, overruled and sent Sammy in, which was really early testing his loyalties.
Yeah.
It's great.
All right. Yeah. Overall, I think that we are all very much impressed with what the Bloodline has done and will continue to do, hopefully, here. The Bloodline wins when, you know, the Huluva kick and then the frog splash from Jay onto Kevin Owens. I think, again, fantastic storytelling. Absolutely awesome. Joey, you said 4, correct?
Yep.
Okay, and Rand, you said 4 as well?
Yep.
All right. Well, with that, let's get to our total of the predictions here. Let's see. Joey, you had the Battling Brutes. Myself and Rand had the Bloodline. So, Rand, that gives you 1, 2, 3, 4 predictions correct. Joey, you have 1, 2, 3 predictions correct, and I have 2 predictions correct. So, there we go. Not bad, gentlemen. Not bad. Now that we've had a couple of days since the Survivor Series has happened, we've had a Monday Night Raw. Let's talk for a minute. What's some of these storylines that we're going to see? So, do you think that we're going to continue to see the Judgment Day versus the OC? What do you guys think?
I'll go with it. I think so. I think you could still introduce some new characters through there. I think this will actually culminate at Royal Rumble, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay. So do you believe what the rumors are that Jay White could be entering into the Royal Rumble, and therefore that would give some more momentum with this storyline?
That's what the rumor is, and I don't know if it's that he's A, going to sign, because I remember there being rumors before of him going to sign. I'm not a fan of his, by the way, but either that or it's just the working agreement they're going to be having with, was it New Japan?
Correct, New Japan.
I think it's something that still has wheels and can continue, to be honest with you, because when you can introduce a new character or two, I think it adds to it.
I think there's going to be some different matches back and forth. We haven't seen much out of Dominic. There could be matches with Minchin and Rhea Ripley. There could be, each week, there could be slightly different matches.
They tried to do that on Raw with Mia Yim and Ripley, and then that turned into a mixed tag team match.
You think they're trying to cover up somebody? You think that you're... that maybe a women's match isn't a big deal on Monday Night Raw, but there were several to start the show.
I don't know. That's a good question. Joey, what do you think?
Oh, I don't think that. I just think they're just trying to continue the feud.
Yeah, I think that was something that – I think it was like, you know, in years back in the 80s, they used to always do the big schmoz like the week before the Survivor Series, you know, where you had Billy Jack Haynes versus Hercules, and then everybody gets involved. And I think that's what this kind of was, but should have been on Saturday night, not on Monday night.
I thought you were going to say Billy Jackson versus Hercules. I'm like, oh, I'd pay to see that match.
Shout out to Billy Jackson. We hope you're listening. Hope you're doing well, my friend. All right, let's talk about Rollins and Theory. Do we see this matchup, continuing for any length of time?
I think it has wheels. I think, you know, both guys can work their ass off, and this allows Lashley to branch off and do whatever he's going to do. One of the things I read is they're pushing for Lesnar versus Walter at Mania. So I think Lesnar and Lashley have their brush off at the Rumble, and then that allows whatever to go on there. But I think that it definitely has some wheels, especially those guys can go and they can put on some really solid matches.
There's a few more matches in here. I think if they're continuing into early January with this matchup, I think it's going to go stale. I do. I think that there's a limited shelf life now. I think they need to start building somebody in these next 3 or 4 weeks for Austin Theory to spin off to, you know, like a Ricochet or like a Rey Mysterio or somebody like that that can come in and still have very good matches, but be something different.
I think in the next couple of months, and by the way, the next pay-per-view is the Rumble. I mean, there's no December pay-per-view, is there?
Great question. I don't know.
You mean there's no December to dismember?
No.
Or seasons beatings.
It's called a premium event anyways.
Premium. I think we're the Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns at the Rumble. I think they're going to keep with Kevin Owens. I could see Kevin and Sammy versus the Usos at WrestleMania. I think that Sammy, between the Royal Rumble and Mania, is when this all splits. Maybe even during the Royal Rumble match when they break Sammy off.
Well, Rand, you are correct. The only premium live event is NXT Deadline, which is December 10th. I think I said last week, by the way, it was the 4th, but that wasn't correct. So, that is pretty much to be, it's NXT Deadline and then NXT New Year's Evil is supposedly a possible premium live event. And then we go into the Royal Rumble. So you're right. There is going to be quite a few months and weeks go by before we get another premium live event.
Also, guys, how nice was it with Survivor Series that you didn't have a ton of matches? You didn't feel like stuff was rushed.
I agree wholeheartedly. I like that a lot. I really did. I know, Joey, you're not, but I'm a fan of the Saturday night pay-per-views as well.
Well, tomato, tomato. I'll throw rotten ones at you. I don't care. Whatever.
All right, well, let's talk about one final storyline that culminated on Raw, and thankfully not on Saturday night, is that Dexter Lumis defeated Miz in an Anything Goes match. Speaking of continuation of matchups or feuds, are we finally done with these two?
I think one of the funniest visuals I've seen in a long time was this lunatic Dexter Lumis with a clamp on his head. I thought that was outstanding, something unique and strange. His entrance is strange. He's a character I'm going to start watching just because the way they've built him up is being this unpredictable lunatic. They can keep going with him.
All right, so Joey, what do you think?
Well, I think they're taking Miz away from Loomis and then on to Johnny Wrestling. I think that's the obvious way they're going with that now.
Right.
With a character like Loomis, I mean, it's you can't do much with him, though. Even though he's interesting, you can't do much. I would have honestly brought him back and done more and made him part of the Wyatt Six.
That's a good idea.
I think that would have made a better story to have a serial killer. The guy's gimmick is technically a serial killer. I mean, that's technically what his gimmick is.
Yeah.
In the Wyatt Six. So as far as the question you ask, I believe that this feud is done now, especially with him handing out $100 bills to kids. How awesome was that?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to continue on with Miz and Gargano. I think that's going to be the next feud there for the Miz.
Absolutely. All right, last couple of things here real quick. Bobby Roode is slated to return soon from injury. Of course, he had surgery in September. Guys, where do you think Bobby Roode's going to fit in? Do you think they're going to use him correctly on the main roster, or maybe is he going to be like Apollo Crews and decide to step down to NXT? What's your thoughts, guys?
They haven't used him correctly in years. Why start now?
Oh, valid point. Joey?
Well, the reason they haven't used him correctly in years is because of Vince. They used him correctly in NXT, and Trips knows how to use him. I see him being a strong United States or Intercontinental champion. I see him as a guy. They're bringing back the whole glorious gimmick, so he won't be teamed with Ziggler. I think he's the type of guy that would the IC title, like a 6 to 8 month run with somebody as a champion. I think he's perfect for that. Because I think you could take that belt off of Walter somehow in a schmoz and still keep him relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So I see him going to the SmackDown brand and doing something there. And I think that's a good way. I think if they hold him off, I think that would be a great, quote-unquote, surprise entrance in the Rumble without wasting a surprise, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I think people will pop for that. Roode mm-hmm. still has, you know, that glorious entrance is awesome. I mean, at one point, NXT probably had the top 3 or 5 ring entrance songs in all of pro wrestling. And that was just NXT.
I thought you were going to say he's got that it factor. Ha ha. Ha ha. Remember that storyline from TNA?
I do not.
Okay, never mind. That was a terrible joke.
Sorry.
Okay.
I kind of gave up on TNA after a few years. I got tired of Jeff Jarrett and My World and all that stuff. Okay. But which I do like his podcast, though, which is very ironic. Anyway, that's what I would do. But one of the things, though, and I know we want to get Rans, I hope that you're going to bring up more stuff about Wyatt. I don't know if that's on your notes to bring up, so I'm going to let Rand talk. Is he going to talk any more about Roode?
I don't know, Rand. What 2 cents worth do you have to talk about Bobby Roode?
I differently than you, I liked Bobby Roode with Dolph Ziggler. I thought they were a good pair. I thought they were an interesting combination.
Well, we'll have to wait and see where Bobby Roode surfaces, but I think he would be absolutely fantastic in NXT as a way to help the younger kids down there, you know, kind of get their bearings in the sport. But I also agree that he could be a very solid mid-card champion as well. So, Joey, you want to bring up the Wyatts? Let's go ahead and talk about them. I don't have any notes for them, but what's on your mind about Bray Wyatt and his crew?
Well, I just like how they're dropping hints again. They did a really neat thing with Alexa last night where she was kind of zoned out and the new logo kind of popped in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole number that you call on SmackDown where it's them giving that Easter egg was even given the what the doctor was saying or the shrink was saying about Bray. That was cool. I really like the buildups. I think it's one of those things right now where people either like it or don't like it. And I think the people that don't like it are the people that are part of the microwave society. They want to see something right now. And they're taking the time to build this and to build the Wyatt Six. So I think you're going to see Alexa. I think they said, even though he's kind of feuding with LA Knight, they're saying he might be Ramblin' Rabbit.
Oh, really?
Which is pretty neat. So for this quote-unquote Wyatt 6, I read some stuff on that where people are speculating, which I think would kind of be cool if you could kind of do something where he's still Eli Drake, but kind of put him in this something totally different, totally dark character for him, which is wild. So I don't know. I just like how they keep dropping these hints, and I keep following all these little Easter eggs, and the one they had on SmackDown was pretty damn cool.
Rand, any thoughts on Bray Wyatt's return?
I like the build. I don't want it to be rushed. I want it to take its time, and I want hints to be dropped along the way. I agree.
All right, well, here's two news stories I thought we'd end with because they're kind of unique. Hey, do you guys remember Alex Riley?
A-Rai.
Yeah.
Bridget and I met him.
Oh, did you now?
Yeah, we shook his hand at an NXT show.
Oh.
That was at Arnold.
Okay. Well, Alex,
right.
He's returning after about 6 years out of professional wrestling. He's going to be wrestling in a couple of weeks at a Create a Pro Wrestling event in New York. And I got to say that I had to report on this because I haven't thought about Alex Riley in forever.
I didn't think about him until we met him that day, and I probably didn't think about him really much after. But
oh, well, okay. Let's go ahead and talk about another breaking news story from a few days ago. Guys, Conrad Thompson, not only does he have 84 podcasts that he does, he's not going to be a wrestling promoter. Have you heard?
What's the news?
He, as well as Nick Aldis and Mickey James and a few other non-wrestling related people, are starting Oceanic Pro Wrestling. That's right. They're going down under, baby. Which, that was a terrible Australian accent. I should be slapped for that. Anyways.
I'm going to go ahead and hang up now.
You can go ahead and hang up. That's right. Anyways, they're going to be starting sometime in mid-2023 with an event. And they're looking forward to it, of bringing people from competitors from all over, from CMLL to, I almost said Ring of Honor, to MLW, to the NWA, to all these different areas. They're going to pull in the best talent and have a show in Australia. What do you think, guys? I got to be honest with you. I think it's been a while since Australia's been in the spotlight for professional wrestling. I think that it's an untapped market. So, hey, why not explore it? That's what I say.
I got to think Conrad knows about everybody in the business. I think he can pull all kinds of different talent.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, that dude's Rolodex is probably very, very thick, which I know I just made a dated reference because nobody remembers what a Rolodex is. But
oh, I thought you said a roll of dicks. I'm like, I don't know where you're hanging out. But so does that mean we see the reemergence of Outback Jack?
First of all, is Outback Jack still alive? We should maybe clarify that first. I don't know.
The new person in research, Vincent, I don't know what he's doing, but he's not up on it.
Well, I know. What can I say? Outback Jack, I am I'm looking that up right now.
Efforting.
He is still alive. He is 64 years old.
Only 64. I thought that motherfucker looked like he was in his 60s when he was wrestling.
Yes, indeed. He did he did seem to be much, much older back in the day, you know? But, yeah, you know what? All the best of luck to Aldis, James, and Conrad. And by the way, too, condolences going out to Mickey James, who lost her brother and niece in a horrible car accident. And I
unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, that's coming from me, who just had an incident involving a car accident as well a couple weeks ago. It hits close to home for me as well. So, anyways, condolences sent to Mickey James and her families.
Most
with definitely. That, yeah, with that, guys, let's start wrapping things up. Rand, where can folks find you on the interwebs?
I am there on Twitter at Rand Dittmar, RANDDITTMAR.
No one has joined Hive yet?
I'm sorry?
No one has joined Hive yet of the three of us?
Nope.
Okay. Joey, have you joined Hive?
What is Hive?
Hive is like the new Twitter, apparently.
Ah. Oh, it's because we're upset because Elon Musk took over and letting people back on, so the woke community is moving there now.
Well, I don't know what community's moving over there, but you know what? If Jim Brunzel and B. Brian Blair are not on Hive, then that's a goddamn shame. That's a marketing tactic right there. The Killer Bees are on Hive.
No, or just Sting.
It's Sting!
Or Kenny the Stinger.
Kenny the Stinger?
Do you not remember that guy?
No.
Are we not talking about Stinger from the mascot of the Columbus Blue Jackets?
No.
No.
So real quick before I give my stuff, Outback Jack says he left the WWF when he got a TV show called This Is an Adventure with Outback Jack. At the time he left, he felt loyal to the WWF and didn't try to go to WCW. Outback Jack says he owns the rights to the Outback Jack character. I wonder if he makes any money off of that.
I don't know. Oh, Kenny the Stinger is Kenny Chaos. Nice. All right. I remember him.
Yeah,
it was a terrible,
it was the same gimmick as Sting, but he called himself Kenny the Stinger.
I remember that. Oh my God.
Terrible. Terrible.
Yes, terrible. He was part of High Voltage, if I remember correctly, right?
No, that's a different Kenny Chaos.
Oh, is it? Okay. All right.
That has to be, yeah. It's not, yeah.
All right. Well, we've taken down a path they didn't anticipate. So, Joey, social media is where you at?
I often take people down paths they don't anticipate. I hope the authorities don't hear that. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter at DJ Joey Blaze, of course. And you can find us also, for those of you that like collectibles, such as sports cards or Funko Pops or action figures, at remixcollectibles.com. We have a link tree on there where you can reach out and check us out on there.
There you go. All right, gentlemen, thanks again for sitting down and chatting about the Survivor Series. Really do appreciate it. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Ran, the pro wrestling pundits, talking about Survivor Series and some of the other miscellaneous news stories that happened to unfold as we were recording. And I hope that you found our insight and opinions interesting and worthwhile. But if you did or didn't, you can let me know by getting in touch with me a couple of different ways. First, you can shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. Or if you want to, you can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just search for @PVDcast. And in fact, if you want to find me on Twitter, just search for @PVDNVP. And maybe you want to let some folks know about where they can get the PVD cast. Well, there's a bunch of avenues for that. First off, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and the easiest way to get every single episode. Or it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go into the search bar, type in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if that's too much trouble, there's even an easier way. Every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little Facebook broadcast of the week's episode. So all you have to do is go on over to the page, click the play button, like it if you like what you hear, and enjoy the PVD cast through the Facebook page or any way that I just mentioned. You can do it any way you want. But if you do listen through those podcast apps, I need a favor. I need you to rate and review the episode that you listen to. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm and drives me up the charts. And of course, don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC. Copyright 2022.